For the past several weeks, we have been looking at that hymn, Joy to the World, and we have been looking at wonders of His love. We'll continue that today. My question for you, though, that I would pose to you is this. When was the last time you saw the wonders of His love? Not just generally, not just in the lights and the ornaments of Christmas time, all of that celebration, but when specifically did you identify the wonders of God's love? This Joy to the World song that we have been talking about, that Pastor Denny has so wonderfully been helping us to dig into it and to mine some of the beautiful message that is there. It has a backstory, which he has spoken about a little bit when he has talked about that. This song, the tune, the words were not written necessarily just for, like all the other Christmas carols. Many of the other Christmas carols talk about Christ's birth. They look back. But this particular carol, this particular poem, as it were, it encourages Christians to look forward. In fact, one person who was the academic dean of the University of the Holy Land in Bethlehem said this: "There is one Christmas carol that is unlike all the others, having to do with the coming of Jesus. So today we look forward, and that Christmas carol is Joy to the World. So not only are we looking backward, but we're also looking forward. And so appropriately, today is the last Sunday of 2019. Hasn't it gone fast? And next week, when we gather together, will be a new year. The first Sunday of 2020. Now, New Year celebrations often have resolutions. And I believe that true life needs more than a New Year's resolution. In fact, why don't you say that with me? True life needs more than a New Year's resolution. See, true life, not only does it need more than a New Year's resolution, but personally, it needs more than a New Year's resolution like a president, like what happened in 1961. I know some of you were around at that time, and our president, John F. Kennedy, at that time, spoke and he said, "I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to Earth." He was talking about launching into a new era, launching out into a new zone, as it were. And to launch means this. When it refers to a boat, it means pushing it into action, pushing it out, allowing it to roll in the water. The town's lifeboat was launched for the fisherman. Or it can be used in, she was launching a campaign against ugly architecture. It can mean introduce, organize, plan. What about you? How will you launch a new year? Well, I will share with you that we can launch a new year in three ways, or three principles to guide us. The first one is recount the Lord's faithful acts. Say it with me. Recount the Lord's faithful acts. I believe that on this last Sunday of 2019, as we prepare for 2020, one of the ways we can launch into the new year is to recount those faithful acts. Look with me at that passage of Scripture. Isaiah 63 says, "I will recount the Lord's faithful acts." This has been a practice that has been done throughout the ages. Recounting, remembering, bringing to mind again. Now, Pastor Ben shared last week that we have a man in our congregation, Richard Hayworth, who has begun the process of looking over his life and writing down the moments, the times when he noticed and named the action of God in his life. Have any of you ever done that? Have any of you ever set aside some time where you have taken a moment or a longer period of time where you recounted and began to go over your life and list out when God was there? I'm going to ask you to just do a little exercise with me. To give me a chance to take a drink of Gatorade. I want you to kind of close your eyes and pause. And I want you to, and this is for a moment, you're going to open your eyes again after this, okay? I want you to close your eyes and pause and think about, when was God active in your life? One back. So we recount the Lord's faithful acts. Here's a quote that I have. Trust the past to the mercy of God, the present to His love, and the future to His providence. See, when we think about our past, sometimes we think about things that are not so good, but we need to trust the Lord's faithful acts. His mercy has been poured out upon us. When we think about the present, we can look around us and see how God is pouring out His love, His wondrous love upon us. And when we look to the future, we can look to it with faithful confidence that His providence will remain the same, that He will go through and into our future with us, pouring out His faithful love. So the first step in launching ourselves to this new year is to recount the faithful acts of God. The second one, say it with me, remain in the revealed will of God. So after we recount it, it's not just to recount it, but it's to remain in the revealed will of God. I think about this with Joseph in mind. You know, Joseph was there, and he had followed the Lord's directions. He did not put Mary away, but he kept her as wife. He stayed with her. They traveled to Bethlehem. Jesus was born. The shepherds came. The angels were singing. The Magi came, you know, and gave these gifts. Do you think he was just like wide-eyed at that point? Do you think he was overloaded with what God was doing in his life, trying to make sense of all of this? And then they left. The next thing we read, it says, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. So I think Joseph, I can see him imagining saying, what? I just got here. And now you're saying someone's going to try to kill? I got to get out of here. And so he's recounting, and then he's getting up. God's revealed will. He got up, and he left and went to Egypt. And then it says this, stay there until I tell you. Any of you have dogs? Got a dog. Have you ever trained your dogs? No. Okay. Then this is not for you, but for some of you, you might understand. Remember, stay. Oh, wait, no. Stay there. Or did you ever take one where they take that little snacky thing and they put it on their snout and they say, wait for it, wait for it. Okay, then the dog can eat it or whatever. But he says, stay there. Has God ever told you to stay there? And you kind of wandered around? Or have you you stayed there waiting until the next instructions that God gave you? And if God gave you the instructions, stay there, how did you respond? How did you feel about what was happening? Here is a quote that I have. It says this: God hears and he sees, and you are not alone in your struggles. Remain firm and stable, for God has your deliverance planned. See, when God says, stay there, when God said to Joseph, stay there, that was not going to be his permanent residence. That was a foreign country. But for that time being, that season of his life, God was telling Joseph, stay there. And I'm wondering how we can stay or remain in God's revealed will. Here's another question that I thought about. How do we experience our own Egypt? Do you ever feel out of place as a Christian? Do you ever feel you're living in a foreign country? Do you ever feel that this is a different culture from which you grew up in? Or maybe you're a youth, and maybe you very poignantly see that your culture, living at school with your friends and your peers, is way different than what it is where you see your parents or your grandparents especially. See, we all have, I believe in some ways, our own Egypt. Our own Egypt where we remain there for a moment, a season, as God reveals himself to us. I want to give a couple illustrations of this. If you can see it and your eyes are good, you might say, belief in God by generational group. And this is from a study that Barna did, and they were looking at generations and how things have changed. Basically, from this survey, and let me show you another one, the second one here. If you don't, you can see the importance of religion in one's life among adults of the greatest generation. It was large. It was large. And we're not just talking dedicated Christianity. We're talking anyone who just felt that religion was important for them in whatever means that was large. But as we have seen different generations, it drops off steadily. Here in the next one, it says the percentage of people with a biblical worldview. This means where they look at the Word of God and they see the Word of God as a guide, not just as a book of literature that could be studied in school, not just as a grouping of fables and stories, but that they look at the Bible and they look through the Bible as a lens. Well, for boomers, which I'm right in the middle of the boomer generation, they say basically 10% of the boomer generation has a biblical worldview. And then it goes down until we get to Gen Z, the newest generation, which is 4%. Now, I personally kind of work through those surveys and say, okay, the youngest generation, are they still developing a worldview? Are they still developing their understanding of who God is? And so they have not yet settled upon that worldview. My question that I have for us in this next slide, it says, where is the message, joy to the world, the Lord has come in all of this? Is it right in front of us, or do we have to hunt for it more and more? In fact, that it is, it's kind of like leaking out of our culture. So it's almost non-existent in our culture. One person said this: despite what you think you know, sometimes your plans may be interrupted because you were designed for a purpose. You are on a mission to achieve greatness. No matter what obstacles lie in your path, you will reach your destination. Remember, God's grace is sufficient. So we can recount and we can see how God was faithful in the past, but in order to remain in the present, to launch forward in the new year, we need to understand that there is hope, that God is doing something in our lives. It's better found in this particular quote. God has placed you where you are at in this very moment for a reason. Remember that and trust He is working everything out. Without giving anything away, I can tell you this, that after the first service, someone came up to me and they said, "Pastor, I just want you to know this. There was someone visiting here who came over and talked to my husband and shared with him how much God had impacted her life while she was growing up." How is it that in a moment when he needed to hear that here was a guest coming in and speaking a word? Think about it. What about you? What if you are here for that very reason? That you are here to be able to be filled with God's will, His love, His relationship with Him, that you can be launched into the new year so that God can use you to impact others. That God can use you to be that foundation where others go to be able to find some, to make some sense in this world. So we recount God's faithful acts and we remain in God's revealed will. And lastly, we respond to new days and new directives that God opens to us. Would you say that with me? Respond to new days and new directives that God opens to us. See, it's not just enough to recount what God has done in the past. It's not just a life where we are totally present, though that's where we live, but we have to face the future. Last Sunday of the old year, new year about to come, we're going to be launched into that new year. Will we respond to new days, or are we just going to live our life the way it always is? Are we going to? I guess the question to Joseph was this: would he remain in Egypt for the rest of his life? Or would he respond to God? Look with me to verse 21. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. So here we have some information about how God got Joseph out of Egypt and into Israel. Trying to figure this out of how long Joseph was in Egypt. Just as an aside, you can do some. So we know that Jesus was 12 years old the next time we hear about Jesus, right? He goes to the temple. And so we know that it was at least less than 12 years. We know that he's done this because that scripture says that this was a regular practice that they did of going up to the... So it was less than 12 years, a regular practice. So it could have been he was there 5 years. Maybe 10 years. But God had something more for him. And God spoke to Joseph and said, "Joseph, it's time now to go." And Joseph was a catalyst. And by Joseph responding, he was a catalyst to help get Jesus there to Nazareth, fulfilling the scriptural prophecy, and to pave the way as part of the salvation story for us. Did you ever think that you were a catalyst? That you were part of the program, the plan, this amazing work of God throughout history, and that you fit in somewhere very specific, and God's grace was flowing through you out to others? Sometimes we don't respond. Sometimes we just recount, sometimes we remain, but God's calling us to respond today. Here's a quote, Corrie ten Boom. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust what you don't know is going to happen to someone and with God who knows what's going to happen. I was in Messiah College, and it was probably my freshman year, and this little old lady came to our chapel time. It was so packed that we got to sit down front on and in the aisles. That would be great. We could pack this place out, and the only place that would be left was if they could sit up around here and everything like that. And this lady was, do you know what grandmother's shoes are? Well, I mean, we're talking older generation, not grandmother's shoes like you wear, honey. You wear socks. I have to get this right because I have to remember, oh, I'm a granddad right now, which makes my wife a grandmother. I'm talking about my grandmother's shoes. They were those old black. Anyway, she was not fashionably dressed. Let's just put it that way. She wasn't anything that drew you to her. How did I say it? Her presence was not grand. But the presence of God in her just beamed and radiated. And her words that she spoke captured and captivated us in an amazing way. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That's how we can launch into the future. Launch into the new year. I came across a bulletin board. It happens to be United Methodist. It happens that some of you need to hear it today. God gives fresh starts. Find His love here. There's two points to that message. One is, maybe you are one who needs a fresh start. And we pray that you can find it here. The second message is this. There are people out there who need fresh starts. We need to be a place. We need to be a people where they can find it. We need to be the people of God, the people of faith, His family of faith, of First Church, where people can come and they can be touched by the grace of Jesus Christ. Because just as God launches us, He wants us to be like a launching pad for others. So, what might I do this coming year? How can I find this wondrous love, the wonders of His love, that compassion and joy? Well, if you've read your newsletter, Pastor Denny has this wonderful kind of illustration at the beginning. About 2020. Do you all, you know, there's a lot of people who are wearing glasses out there, I see. So I know many of you have been to an eye doctor, and you get that eye exam, and you look down the list, and I tell you, one time I went, and they had me take my glasses off, which I took them off, and they said, okay, could you read one of the lines on the chart? And I said, what chart? And they said, well, the chart on the wall. And I said, what wall? I'm pretty blind now. But when I put my glasses on, I can see really well. God wants us to launch into this new year with 2020 vision. Not that we have it already all figured out, but that we have put on our spiritual glasses, that we recount his faithful acts, we remain in his revealed will, and that we will respond. We will respond to the days and the directions that he gives to us. So looking forward, let's say this together. Recount the Lord's faithful acts. The next one. Remain in the revealed will of God. And the last. Respond to new days and new directives that God opens to us. It was a New Year's resolution that was made by a president in 1961 that put a nation on track to send a person to the moon and back. There are far greater distances and far greater things to happen that God is calling us to do. It may not be on the moon, it may not be on Mars, it may be in the depths of our hearts, in the change of a nation, in the change of a community, as God launches us